Continue in our series on the seven churches of the book of Revelation. We have covered Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and today we're going to look at Sardis. We're in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to read six verses of the book of Revelation 1 through 6. Let's all stand, read God's word, and we're going to talk about this church with a name. Amen. 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 And unto the angel. I hear Deacon say, whoa, whoa. Whoa. All right. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Yes, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Father God, we ask right now that you would give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Father, we ask right now that you would just fix our minds on you. Let us hear what you've written. For it's written in red. It's written in red because it is Jesus Christ's own words. Oh, Father God, let us realize this is a message of love. Because Jesus said we have time to repent. So, Father God, give us a repentant heart today. Give us a heart that want to turn away from anything that may hinder our walk with you. For we want to walk worthy of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We're going to talk about reviving a dying church. God called this a dead church. There was a story of a little girl who came to church with her father, and they had the pictures all on the back walls. And the little girl asked her father, she said, Dad, or maybe Daddy, what are all those pictures on the wall for? And the father said, those are all the people that have been a part of this church and have died in the services. Uh-huh. And the little girl asked him, Daddy, which service did they die in? The morning service or the afternoon? Now that was a dead church. See, a little child knows when they had a dead church. God is speaking to this church. Sardis. Sardis. The name Sardis really means affluent. This was a wealthy church. This was a church full of programs and activities and giveaways and missionaries. And I mean, they just had it going on in the world's opinion.
But God had something else to say about this church. And we pick up at verse number 1 of chapter 3. And he says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis. And the angel of the church is the messenger of the church or the pastor. And then I've enjoyed these last 5 weeks being called an angel. During the week I've called so many other things. But it's good to be called an angel every once in a while. So he says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis. This church was in Sardis. These things say he that have the 7 spirits of God. Now the 7 spirits of God, that number 7 is the number for perfection. God holds the spirits of every church. God and his son Jesus Christ holds the spirit of every church. So God knows how much of his spirit is being required or being prayed for by every church. So if a church that's dependent on the Holy Spirit is always asking God for guidance and direction, for power and ability. But a church that's doing what it wants to do is not often asking God for power, for wisdom, for might. And this was the type of church that Sardis was. And man's eye, Sardis had it going on. Buses all over the town, traveling all to and from. Children ministries, youth ministries. I mean, they had money, they had wealth, they had prestige. But they were lacking one thing. Now God says in verse number 1, he says, I know thy works. How can God say that? God can say, I know thy works, because without God's spirit, you have no work in God's house. I often tell our Bible study, you've heard the story, so bear with me, but the man from China, the missionary, came to America. And he visited all these mega churches, all these, the Crystal Cathedral and all the mega churches. We got mega churches, mega malls, mega trends. Some of y'all know about mega bucks.
Come on.
And so the Chinese man, when he was boarding the airplane, they asked him, they put a mic in front of his face, and they said, Mr. China man, what impressed you the most about America and the American church? And he said, what impressed me the most is how much America's church can do without the Holy Spirit. How much we can do on our own. And this is what Sardis was doing. They was doing things on their own. If they felt like doing it, they did it. And if they didn't feel like doing it, they didn't. Faith without works is dead. Sardis was a working church. But it was working for itself. It was a self-centered church. Listen to what he says. He says, I know thy works. Now, when he was in Ephesus, the first church we studied, he said Ephesus was a church known for its love and its faith and its patience. Ephesus was a good church. God had one thing against. They had lost their first love. And then we went to the church. The second church we talked about was Smyrna. Smyrna was a suffering church. A persecuted church. They had a man there called Antipas that was martyred. Either in church or on his way home from church, but the people knew him. They were a persecuted church. And God had nothing bad to say about Smyrna. And then we talked about Pergamos. And Pergamos, again, God said Pergamos had great works. They had a church that held on to God's name. Pergamos was the church that was in Satan's backyard. Remember, he talked about the church in Satan's city. Right in the middle of the city, and they still lifted up God's name. And some of us, we talk about Jake this morning, lifting up God's name. In any arena. Whether it's on the job, or whether it's at play, at recreation, these young people in this church have trouble. Oh, they'll wear the latest gear. They'll wear their Steelers stuff, their Brown stuff. They'll wear their Michael Jordan and LeBron jerseys. But I just dare you to take one of these children that say, oh, and they say, oh, how I love Jesus. Buy them a shirt that says, oh, how I love Jesus. And tell them to wear that to school on dress down day. There's a problem there. See, a lot of folks like children like that. We have a name, but it stays in church on Sunday. They don't go with us outside of here. See, there's the funeral of an elder, and all the people came. He was an elder in the church. And all his friends came and said, well, I never knew he was an elder. That's news to me. I told the story about a funeral a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and one of the deacons at the church, he got up and told the church. The man was a lost man and a sinful man. And he said, well, this is the deacon speaking. He said, listen, y'all, listen. You don't need all that holiness to go to heaven. That was the deacon. And immediately my mind says, well, the Bible says, without holiness, no man, no woman, no child shall enter the kingdom of God. See, this church had a name. But God knew. Why did God know? Because God knows how much we asked of Him. How much have you asked of God? Or are you a Christian in name only? We want our loved ones saved. We want our friends saved. We want our lost co-workers saved. But how much are we asking God to help us? Are we embarrassed? Are we ashamed? Paul says in Romans 1:16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So we're going to see some folks saved. We're going to see some changed lives. We have to ask God for some power. He's the source of our power. And Sardis didn't know him, because they had a name. And this one said, that thou livest. And God said, thou art dead. God said they were dead. They were dead. But God is so merciful. He's so full of grace. He's so loving and kind. And I know some folks say, well, that was a mean message. That was a hard message. We talked last week about Jezebel. Wicked Jezebel. But when I look over the text, I say, what a loving message. What a God we serve. What a gracious God we serve. There's no woman in the world living today as wicked as Jezebel. But the word of God said, and I gave Jezebel, verse 21 of chapter 2, he said, and I gave her space to repent. God has told each and every one of these churches they need to repent. That's an act of love. If you're sitting here today, and you have something in your world that's causing you to have a bad relationship with God. God is so gracious. And he still says, I will give you space to repent. Anybody needs some space? That word space means time. And believe it or not, when as loving as God is, your time will run out. I don't know where I was at when my time was, where my time was when God saved me, but I thank God that the time didn't run out. Listen what he says to this church in verse number 2. He has nothing good to say about this church. Notice that. He has nothing good to say about this church. When you look at Thyatira, you look at Thyatira, he says, I know your works. Charity and service and faith and patience and works. He had nothing good to say about this dead church. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't know they was dead. They thought they had it going on. They thought they were alive. You know, when the politicians came to town to ask for a vote, they went to this church.
Yeah.
3,000 members. And you know, when the stars come to town, they went to this church. When the mayor was running for re-election, he went to this church.
All right.
Not many going to come through here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen to what he says in verse 2. And in verse 2, he gives them the comforting words. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now he gives you some interesting things in there that we ought to do. First he says, be, that word be means become. Become watchful. Pay attention. 1 Peter 5:8 says it like this. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He don't just want to take a bite out of you. He want to devour you. He want to devour your testimony. He want to devour your character. He want to devour your integrity. So when you sit there and say, I'm a Christian, folk will laugh in your face. Because if you was a Christian, you would not be whatever. So he says, be watchful. Pay attention. And then he says, and strengthen. How do you strengthen a child of God that's dying? You feed him the milk of the word. You feed him the word. You say, here's the word. Here's what you need. And you feed him. And you nourish him. Listen to 1 Timothy 4:6. Listen to what it says. He says, and if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. That word doctrine means Bible. Whereunto thou hast attained. Listen, a good minister going to feed a dying man the word of God.
Amen.
Dying woman need a word of God. There's folks dying in churches.
Amen.
Starving to death spiritually.
Amen.
Hearing stories and jokes and stories and preachers just playing.
Amen.
Running around. And folks dying.
Amen.
I believe there were some folks here dying.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
On life support.
Amen.
Needed strength.
That's right.
I've been in church where I was dying.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Just
amen.
Just sitting.
Just
sitting. Stinking. Something that don't move and get atrophy. When you get a body part that don't move, you don't use it, it'll just get deformed on you. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain.
Yeah.
Strengthen the things which remain. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm in the midst. See, God don't need, he don't need a mega church. See, all he needs is just a faithful few. So all you need is two sticks to start a fire. See, you don't have revival. All you need is a couple of hot Christians. You got to watch them wet ones. You got some wet logs. You don't want to throw a wet log on the fire. Till the fire get real hot. If I get real hot, you can throw a wet one on there. Be careful though. Paul was throwing some wet ones on there and a viper is attached to his hand. Watch them wet logs. Listen to what he said. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Some folks are not going to leave. They don't care how bad it gets. I can't go to that church no more. I can't go there. Mama was there. Daddy was there. Grandpa was there. Some churches have cemeteries in the back of them. I can't leave this church. Mama buried out back and Daddy buried out back and Grandpa and Great-Grandpa. And they'll sit there and die. I visited church a while back. When we was doing the interviewing process, and this church told me I had to leave for 4 weeks. And I visited the church. I visited the church. And the pastor showed up at 1 o'clock for 11 o'clock service. I don't even know why I was there until 1 o'clock. Listen, this is what he says. Not only that, he says... He says, strengthen. He says, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Listen, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. See, no reason why God can say that. Because if it's not done in the Spirit, if it's not done in the Spirit, it's not pleasing to God. I don't care how many kids you pick up. I don't care how many children come to this vacation Bible school. If the people of God aren't spiritual, we're wasting our time. If we doing it to pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, we had 100 kids. We had 200 kids. God may send us 20 kids.
Yes.
And one of them kids may grow up to be the next Jonathan Edwards. We don't know. We don't know. But we get so caught up with numbers. Oh, this ain't Quicken Loans. You go to some churches like Quicken Loans. Door prizes and games and gimmicks and praise dancing and mime and tap dancing. I've been to some churches and the only thing was missing was the drinks. Sanctified nightclubs. Coming. Is coming. Listen what he says. Listen what he says. Moving on, verse number 3. He says, not only that, he says, remember. Remember. God has given you a mind to remember. Remember what, preacher? Remember how you was lost. Remember how you was dead in your trespasses and sins. But God. Now this isn't the church folk. Now this is the professing Christians. Now if you don't have no remembrance of when you were lost and dead and dying, then you need the Lord. But Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. And not of yourself. It was a gift of God. God's gift to us was this Holy Spirit, was the person of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That was God's gift to us. Yeah. And without God's gift to us, without being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing for the Lord.
Yeah. We can do nothing.
All our works is as filthy rags. Paul said as dung.
Yeah.
Young people, ask your parents on the way home what dung means. tongue. That's what this church was. This word was dead. And anything that's dead and staying dead stinks.
Amen.
This was a stinky church. Lifeless, no pulse. CPR couldn't do nothing for this church. It was dead. But God in His mercy, God in His mercy says, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Remember how you received the Holy Ghost. Remember how you were. And I don't mean every time you give a testimony, you got to remind everybody in the church you was a pimp, you was a gangster, you was a playboy, or you was a prostitute, or you was a big time dope dealer. But remember, where God brought you from. All of us ought to have that testimony. Okay? We all ought to have that testimony. If you're saved, you ought to be saved from something. You have to be saved from something. If it's just yourself. Some people need to be saved from themselves. Like the one movie, this is going to self-destruct. Some of us are on the way of self-destruction. What's that, Mission Impossible? Some of y'all hear Mission Impossible. You will self-destruct. This is what he says. He said, not only remember how thou have received the word of God and heard, and that word heard means you understood. There was a point in your life where you understood. You understood that God has saved you, what he has saved you from. He said, not only receive it and hear it, but hold it fast. Don't let it go. Don't let nobody shake you or take your Holy Spirit away from you. Hold on. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. Because Satan wants you. He wants you back. He wants you back. Listen, he said not only that, hold fast. These people were in a spiritual, backslidden spiritual condition. And they were dying. And God says, remember how you received it and heard it. Then he said, hold fast. And here's the love of God. And repent. And once you realize where you've been and where God has brought you from, and then you have to say, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. But to the saved folk, We can say in 1 John 1:9, say, if thou confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God. That's God. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and then hold it fast. Man of God ought to be steadfast. The Bible says we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You sitting here today and you're not doing any work from God, you're not holding fast. You ought to be looking around church. What can I do? I need to be doing something. I need to be abounding in the work of God. If you're not abounding in the work of God, then you are on the down. You're either going up or down. You're not just like a plane hovering over the airport. We don't operate like that. Waiting for a landing. No. You either going up or you're going down. Period. You don't get on the elevator in St. Louis Hospital and say, I'm just going to sit here. You either going up or down. And if you in here today, you either going up or down. Now.
Preach the word.
Now.
Preach the word.
That's not enough.
Preach the word.
And you just say, well, preacher, I heard you and it sounds good, but. See, when you talk to somebody, they say, but. I have a better plan than God. And that's what they said. I have a better plan than God. God has an answer for that person. God's word answers every question. We don't need no more direct revelation from God. God is not speaking to man. This book is canonized. It's complete. Matter of fact, Jesus, the Bible says that any man adds
or take away.
So if God's plan don't work, if your memory has gone bad, I'm not talking about anyone here with Alzheimer's. If you can't remember what God has done for you, if you can't remember past this morning when you stepped out of bed and warm blood was going through your body, and when you turned on the water, it was warm, and you felt it. That's enough. But if you can't remember that, listen to what he says. And if you, or if you like Frank Sinatra, and you're going to do it your way, God will let you do it. Listen to what he says in verse number 3. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch. You don't want to watch. I don't want to pay attention. I don't care. I'll be glad when this service is over because I got a new CD, a new MP3 player, and I want to listen to it. And it's going to teach me something different. That's my God. If therefore thou shalt not watch. Okay? I got other plans. And the Bible ain't part of it. Listen. He said, I will come on thee as a thief. That's interesting. Anybody ever been robbed? Anybody ever came home and the house was just ransacked? Anybody ever came out of the mall and walked to your car and the windows was knocked out and all your stuff gone? Oh, that's a horrible feeling. Is there a worse feeling than being robbed? I don't believe so. Is there a worse person than a thief?
Come on now.
I sometimes wonder what's worse, a liar or a thief? If you lie, you steal, and you steal, you lie. I didn't do it. I didn't take it. I guess they're the same thing. He said, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. You need to get ready to stop worrying about the temporal stuff. And start worrying about your soul. And we laugh and we laugh at Harold Campy predicting the end of the world. Well, like I said, that same week that he predicted that the end of the world ended for 120 people in Missouri.
All right.
You can sit here and say, well, you know, they're in a better place now. Everybody ain't in a better place now. See, we want to put everybody in heaven. Listen to what he says. If therefore thou shalt not watch. You don't want to watch? I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You know what he's saying? He's not talking about coming in here robbing you. He's talking about come on and take you with me. And where I drop you off at? See, I hear people, oh, you know, I got plenty of time. I got time. I got time. See, that's a trick of the devil. You know, the devil came to Satan. I think Satan is over the devil or whatever. And he said, I got a new scheme. I'm going to tell people there ain't no God. And the devil said to Satan, or Satan said to the devil, no, that won't work. He said, well, I'm going to tell them there ain't no heaven. No, that ain't going to work neither. Well, I'm going to tell them there ain't no hell. No, that ain't going to work neither. Then he went away and came back about a month later. He said, I have it. I'll just tell them to wait. And Satan said, that'll work. Just tell them to wait. And that's biblical. Because God says in His Word, today. Today. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. See, you have the ability to harden your heart. Some people don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this. Let's get it over with. Listen to what he says. He said, I will come upon thee at an hour thou don't know. Now, if you sit in one of them apartments in Missouri, drinking you some 40s, watching you some pornography on the internet, cussing out your wife, beating your kids, and that hurricane or tornado come through there, don't call me to preach your funeral. Saul has a few names, verse number 4. Here's that faithful few. Here's that two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Thou has a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. You know, and that word defile means that's a character. That's your character. That's who you are. And they have not defiled their garments. Garments represent your reputation. Who you are. Who you're known as. And within this dead church, there was a faithful remnant. There was a faithful few. Not that God needed them. Because God said to the Pharisees, he said, I can make these rocks cry out. That's how bad God is. But he said, thou hast a few.
Yes, sir.
Even in Christian Bible Baptist Church.
Thank you, Lord.
Which have not defiled their garments. I mean, you know what they're saying? They have not bowed down to these idols. They have not bowed down to these false gods. They have not eaten with the enemy. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He says, and they shall walk with me in white. White is a color of holiness and purity. When that angel came and was sitting on that rock outside Jesus' tomb, he had on white. So white you could not even look at it. And listen to what it says. And they shall walk with me in white. Why? Why are they going to walk with him in white? Well, the Bible gives you the answer because it's the best book to go for an answer. Somebody said, why are they going to walk with him in white? What's wrong with blue? What's wrong with green? For they are worthy. That's why. For they are worthy. You have to be worthy to get to heaven. You're just not going to accidentally fall into heaven. You're not getting to heaven by accident. Everybody in heaven want to be in heaven. You can't get to heaven on your mama's faith. Well, my mama, you were brought me to church every Sunday. No, that ain't enough. They made me go to church. Well, they ain't going to make you go to heaven. You gotta want to go to heaven.
Amen.
God don't want you. What you gonna do in heaven? You can't praise Him down here. You can't pray down here. You can't sing glory to God down here. What you gonna do in heaven?
Amen.
The Xbox all day.
Oh boy!
All right. Well, I'm gonna take my Xbox to heaven. I always say, folks going to heaven. Some of y'all going to heaven feet first. Going to heaven feet first. Holding on to stuff. Going to heaven. Hold on to the big screen. You like a rich young ruler. Look at his stuff. Look at Jesus.
Look at his stuff. Look at Jesus. Ah, Jesus, I got too much stuff. All right. Listen, verse number 5, and I'm going to finish this off. Amen. Amen. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in verse. Let me read verse number 4 one more time. I might have missed something. Surely, so I like to strip a scripture down.
Amen.
Listen, I want to get everything out of it. Like a chicken wing. Listen. Thou has a few names in Sardis. God bless you. Thou has a few. I'll say a few. She said, hush, shoot. A few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garment. Listen, the Bible says it is a narrow road. That leads to heaven. And you be on that road. He says it's a wide road that leads to hell. And many be on that road. What road you on? Are you on a spiritual road where you can just about do anything, swerving from lane to lane? Texting and eating French fries and just all over the road. You can't do that on a narrow road. Well, see, when you're on a narrow road, you gotta get focused. When you leave, we were driving somewhere and it just got tight. That's how God wants us to live, Christians. We gotta live like we're on a narrow road. You go on there on them back roads of Kentucky, you got a ditch on one side and trucks coming up the other side. The driving changes. That's when Lori said, Dave, you want to drive now. That's when Cindy pulls over and says, well, I'm getting tired. She ain't getting tired. She hear them trucks coming by. Woom, woom, woom. See, we want to live on a wide road and get to heaven. Running into stuff. It's a narrow road, people. It's a narrow road. This is what he said. And he said, it's a few names in Sardis. You need to make sure your name is in the book.
Amen.
You need to make sure you are part of that few.
Amen.
You need to make sure you are part of that few. Which have not defiled their garments.
Amen.
Listen what he says. Listen what he says. He said, and he, verse 5, and he that overcome. I'm not talking about overcoming once. I'm not talking about overcoming twice. I'm talking about living an overcoming life.
Yeah.
See, Bible says, he that endured to the end shall be saved. Now he that endured today 55 or 60 and then just put it in cruise control. No. You're not going to cruise into heaven. Okay? The Bible says if the righteous scarcely be saved, what chance do the unbeliever have? I mean, if I'm living a righteous life, if I, when I'm sinning, I'm confessing my sins and I scarcely get in. What chance do the unsaved have? Oh, if you're sitting here today and you are unsaved. You are unsaved. I heard this preacher say it's only by grace that we was made it from this Sunday to the next Sunday. There's a whole lot of folks died in between. 20-year-old girl stole a car and ran into the church and killed herself. I got a problem with that, church. 20 years old, robbing, steal a car, speeding away from the cop, running to the church, going 90 miles an hour. He that overcometh, not once, not twice, but we live an overcoming life. The Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Don't let nobody tell you, well, you ought to live a life without afflictions. Don't let the world take away your afflictions. You need them afflictions.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you didn't live a perfect life. If you're sick, it's because you don't have enough faith. And if your baby gets sick because you don't have enough faith. And God demands, you can demand God to heal you. No, you can't. Because God said many are the afflictions of the righteous. So afflictions confirm the fact that you're righteous.
Yeah. Hell, it makes sense to me. If many of the things are the righteous.
But now I'm not cleaning you up too good. You can clean a chicken too good.
I haven't served Dave up no chitlins yet. He'll eat them, though.
Debbie said, no, you can't clean no chitlins too good.
Listen what it said. It said, he that overcometh. Oh, I love overcoming Christians. I love to see some Christians overcome some stuff. Go through some battle, struggle, and fight with this thing. He said, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Now, listen, this is what he's saying here. There was a time back in this day, in the Sardis age, the priests, they were judged. And when a priest was found that did some sin, they took away his white robe, clothed him in black, and blackened, and sent him out of the synagogue. Oh, but God ain't that kind of God. He said, you got to overcome some stuff. Oh, you got to overcome some stuff. He said, and when you overcome it, he said, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Listen. There's none righteous.
No, not one.
We all fall short of the glory of God. But we have a God that we can go to who understands our feelings and our emotions. He understands what we go through walking through this earth. He understands that. And he said, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And then you're going through some stuff. And you have some battles in your life. You have some battles in your home. You have some battles in your marriage. Oh, Jake, when you get married, Jake, you're going to have some battles, brother. I'm going to help you. I'm here to help you. Ain't nobody been married. There's not one person here been married 30, 40 years that haven't had some downtime. You don't have some bad days. But the word of God say, to husbands, he said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and he died for it. As bad as the church is right now, God still loves the church. Love your wife. Oh, and I say, oh, I love my wife like I love the church. I love my wife like Jesus Christ loved the church. You say it's something. You know, all that other stuff, they are, I love you, honey. No. Listen, Jake, do you love me like Christ loved the church?
Amen. Amen. He laid his life down.
Kiki ought to say to Jesse, do you love me like Christ loved the church? Are you willing to die for me?
Come on now.
Are you willing to lay down your life for me? He that overcometh. Oh, somebody said, I need an overcoming spirit. He said, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. And folks, get that messed up. This is not a text saying that you can lose your salvation. He's saying that if you're an overcomer, well, if you're an undercomer, you don't have no salvation. You better make sure you have what it take. You better make sure you have the right stuff. Can't lose what you don't have. You better make sure you're saved before you start talking about losing your salvation. You better make sure you got it. Can't lose no money you don't have now. Man, I wonder what I did with that $50. We ain't have $50.
Listen to what he says. He says, and I will not. That's God saying, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. That's symbolic language, but God don't need no book. These are symbolisms. God don't need no book. He wrote the book. When Jesus walked around, he didn't walk around with a Bible. He walked into the synagogue and started preaching. And they said, oh, what manner of man is this? He ain't like the Pharisees. He ain't like these other priests. They got Bibles quoting other folks. Jesus didn't have nobody to quote. He didn't need no book. He says this, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But, this is what he meant, but this is what I will do. Get your mind off of that getting blotted out. This is what I'm going to do to those who love me. I will confess his name before my Father. Now, he said, I'm going to confess his name before my Father. Because my Father and I are one. We studied in 1 John. God was the attorney and God was the judge. You can't lose. Satan is an accuser of the brother. He's going to accuse you. But you have an attorney whose father is the judge. Now, how do you lose? Oh, we got some crooked judges in this town, but that's a pretty good combination right there. Jesus is your attorney and the judge is Jesus' father. And he said, I will confess his name before my Father and before them same angels that rejoice when that one sinner. Oh, them angels are going to rejoice again. When we step into glory, them angels are going to rejoice again. They're going to dance. They're going to rejoice. Here he comes. Here he comes. No more suffering. No more sorrow. No more pain. Here he comes. Confetti. You in the Super Bowl ain't seen the confetti. It's going to be poured out on us when we step into heaven. Before God, the Father, and his angels. Listen, I'm going to close. Verse number 6. Last verse. He that have an ear. One ear. Okay. One ear. All he said, you get ears. He said, one ear. Incline that ear to the Lord. He that have an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit say unto the church. We the church. Okay? This building, if we were sitting here, we weren't in here. We the church. The call out. Ecclesia, the call out ones. We the church. Do you have an ear? Is the word of God sweet to you? Is the word of God delightful to you? Are you studying God's word? Are you praying for your loved ones? We've been talking about these churches. 7 marks. Each church has their own mark. We're at number 5. Next week I'm going to preach to the fathers. I'm going to skip. We won't be doing Philadelphia. We're going to talk to fathers next week. Father's Day. We're going to talk to fathers. Then we're going to pick it up and talk about Philadelphia and Laodicea. But just covering these 7 churches gives you 7 marks of a godly church. And sometimes we wonder, what's a godly church look like? Well, the first mark would be love. God charged Ephesus saying, you lost your first love. Ephesus started off hot. Some of us have started off hot. And we cooled down. But the first mark of a godly church is it's a loving church. The second mark is Smyrna, and it was a suffering church. See, without a riot, there won't be no revival. Paul said, everywhere I went, and everywhere Paul went, he started a revival. But 2 things happened. There was either a revival or a riot. So when the man of God shows up on the scene, where the Spirit of the Lord shows up on the scene, there are going to be people being saved or people getting mad. That's just the way it is. Some folks may be mad today. Then the third mark of a godly church is faith. Faith. And that's the church of Pergamon. They have faith. They was in Satan's city and they still had faith. The third mark, the fourth mark is holiness. Church ought to be holy. Folk ought to be holy folks. Folk ought to be living right. The Jezebels of the church must be confronted. You just can't have Jezebels running around your church seducing folks into stuff. Oh, don't worry about it. You don't have to get married. Do your thing. God don't care. That's Jezebel. We got churches all over town, folks shacked all up, living together. Confront them. You ain't got to leave it up to the pastor all the time. I'll be talking to Jake. Move the date up. Yeah. Sooner the better.
Yeah.
He's gonna get me. Don't hit me in the stomach, Jake. Me on the shoulder. Listen. The fifth mark is reality. You have to have reality. You have to be real. And Sardis wasn't real. It wasn't a real church. They was dead and didn't know it. Zombie Christians. Just walking around doing stuff. And the sixth mark is the Church of Philadelphia. And it was a Bible center. When you read the Church of Philadelphia, you read through this text, they stood by the Word of God. And God found no fault in Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia, or the Church of Smyrna. And then the last church is Laodicea. And the Laodicea church was lukewarm. And God said, I will have you be hot or cold. And he spewed them out of his mouth. And the seventh sign of a godly church is it ought to be on fire for the Lord. It ought to be hot. The Word of God ought to be hot. It ought to be hot and fresh. You go to a church and after 6 months, the preacher preaching the same messages. Warmed over biscuits, I call them. Nobody want a warmed over biscuit. Vaughn fixed Jeremy some biscuit. It was in the refrigerator yesterday. It's microwave them up. No man want no warmed over biscuit. Hot. It's hot in here. I like it hot. I like it hot. I thank you guys for coming out. Let's have a word of prayer. It's been a wonderful, wonderful day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Revelation. I thank God that on the Lord's day, the Apostle John was in the Spirit. Father God, we want to be in the Spirit as John was on the Lord's day. Father God, fill us with your Holy Ghost today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father God. We're crying out to you. Oh, we don't want to be a church like Sardis. We don't want to do things on our own. We only want to do what thus say the Lord. Father God, we pray right now for all the visitors that are here today. The Bryant family, Father God, we thank you for them, Father God. We pray, Father God, that the Word of God was a blessing to them today. We pray for all the Iron Man Warehouse folks, Father God. We ask right now that you would just bless them. Bless them all, Father God. We pray right now for Jill and Lori. We pray for Jake and Jackie. We pray for their guests that came with them, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce their names. But we thank you, Father God. It's always a blessing to have guests in the house because the church ought to be a place where people are hospitable. Thank you, Father God, for this choir who sang so beautiful, Father God. Maybe one day you will send us a musician, Father God, but we're not going to beg because we know you have greater works for us. But while we wait, Father God, we're going to sing unto you a new song. Thank you, Father God, for these ministers and deacons. Thank you for the offering that was taken up. Thank you for this one grad that came in, Father God. Bless her, Father God, in all her ways. Show her the ways of righteousness, Father God. Let her know, Father God, that she will always be welcome in this house, and we love her. And our prayers go out to her daily.
Father God. We pray right now for all the children here. They've been so wonderful. They've been so peaceful, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for giving them restraining grace.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father God, for the children. Now, Father God, as we close, Father God, we ask that you would give us traveling mercies as we go home. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The doors of the church are open.
Amen.
Amen. The doors of the church are open.